Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
14 of a message titled Godly Guidance. Now, is there anybody in here that could stand to have godly guidance? Let's just say maybe more of it. The rest of you, oh, it's going to be a hard week. Amen? All of us could stand to have more godly guidance. Many times, we actually can deal with God giving us guidance, but how often is that not heeded? Anybody ever had periods of your life where God has clearly guided you, but you didn't listen, and you found yourself like a dinghy out to sea? If you were in this right here, about 20 miles off the Florida coastline, you would know you're in big trouble, amen? Because you know that Cuba's about 90 miles away, and depending on where you're at that point, you'd be, what, 70 miles away? And maybe you're lucky enough to go to Bimini or one of those other ones that's in the vicinity, but the likelihood of that would be very small. You'd be in big trouble. And godly guidance is one of those things that prevents pain. It prevents a mess. We're good at making messes. God's good at keeping us out of messes. God is really good at protecting us from ourselves. But what is wisdom if we don't act on it? What is it? It's nothing. That's literally like you having a safe at home and your entire life savings, you don't believe in the banks, right? It's the old saying, you put it under your pillow. Well, you're not going to do that. You'll have a safe, I hope, if you did that. You're not foolish enough to put it under your pillow. But that's like putting it in a safe and not locking it. It's like the man that won the biggest lottery jackpot, I'm thinking about 98, 2000-ish. I remember his name was Jack. He had a cowboy hat. I'll never forget it. He was a construction owner, and he was supposedly a really solid Christian and all. But Jack won, and Jack went to a specific facility one night that he should not have been visiting. I won't even say what it is. But he went to a place one night, and he just so happened to have in the back of his Cadillac $100,000 in cash. Well, needless to say, after he came out of the facility he was in, someone had broken in his car and relieved him of 100,000 reasons he should not have had $100,000 in his trunk. Amen? So we can have wisdom. We can think that we're protected. But I will promise you tonight, there's no guidance, there's no protection like godly wisdom, godly protection, and godly guidance. The sad reality of us as humans, and I'm learning this, repetition is quite important. Anybody remember the message I've preached? I've probably preached it twice maybe or three times in 14 years called cart building. Anybody ever? Please raise your hand if you remember that message. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I got to preach it again. It's about Uzzah. Remember Uzzah? Uzzah, some people call him. The cart. The message is titled Cart Builders. I'm going to preach it soon. It won't even be the same one I did before. I'll pray about it and have God let me write it all over again in a different way. But we are cart builders so often, meaning we try to help God do his job. And we need godly guidance because it doesn't go well. Why are denominations sinking all over the nation right now? Why are denominations being established that are so completely categorically anti-Christ and anti-biblical, anti-truth? Why? Because mankind is like a ship without a sail right now, a ship without a rudder. They're just out bobbing up and down in nothingness, being blown and tossed about. As a matter of fact, it really reminds me of Jude, the book of Jude, one chapter long, very short chapter, but it just talks about the depravity of mankind and the, you know, how it's almost a Romans 1. It's almost a continuation of Romans 1 and Proverbs chapter 1. But tonight, we as Christians, because we need this continual reminder of the battle that rages within. We can hear these things, and even me thinking, and as a matter of fact, not even about 3 weeks ago, I said, man, I just really would love If God had had me be one of those pastors that just traveled all the time and preached, there's these messages that I just love to preach, and I love this message God gave me 13 or whatever years ago at Cart Building because it's so profound and it applies so heavily to our lives. But what I am reminded of is the fact that we need continually reminded. These biblical basic principles that I often believe, they're so burned on my heart, I could preach that message right now from memory, even though it's been all those years that I preach, because it so deeply impacts me and who I am. We're all not like that. We all need to be reminded of the basic fundamental biblical truths, even as simple as I want to sometimes think, have we not talked about obedience enough times? Well, I think I am reminded of my children. Is there anybody in your home that doesn't on a daily basis have to reiterate the not only importance of obedience, but the consequential implications of obedience? Let's just do it this way. Cause, effect. Cause, obedience. Effect. Mommy and daddy, we have a good day and a wonderful time. Disobedience. Oh, the boogeyman. People, right? Your kid thinks you're the boogeyman because why? They're just so mean to me. They paddled me all day long. Well, no. Your behavior merited the consequences, right? You wrote a check with your actions that mom and daddy had to cash, right? Put it in the terms that we all understand. Because as scripture says, ready? Folly is bound. Think about what being bound up is, binding. If something's bound up, it takes a while, a long time. It's an overt act. It's an incredible process of releasing that bound thing in the life. And that's what folly is in our children's minds, our hearts. Folly is bound up in the heart of the child, but the scripture says, but the rod of correction drives it away. Now drives it, thinking about the process of driving. Talk to anybody who is a professional cattleman, which you won't find many around here, that get on horses and work horse or cattle like that. You have to go out west where they have 10 and 20,000 plus acres, and they get on these horses, and some of them go for days out. Emily will tell you when they went out in Colorado, they would get on these horses and go for days, camp out in the wilderness because it takes so long to work the animals. That's what driving cattle consists of. It's not a process that is easy. It is something that takes enormous amounts of time and energy. And parents, if you've had any time raising children, you realize what the process of driving folly out of children is. Well, guess what? I would think that we could leave that with the children, but us as adults battle those same depraved spirit. We battle these things, this word starts with an S, ends with an N. I gave you three guesses for the middle letter. I, sin, yeah, amen. Look at there, y'all are on top of it tonight. I that was one of my heavy ones, so I won't do any more difficult questions. But sin, it's that thing that people don't want to talk about anymore. Oh, I don't want to feel good, right? We don't want to, tell me what I'm doing right. Tell me how nice what I did was because I was doing, right? I was doing this good work so that everybody would see and everybody would say how wonderful I am because remember, we're going to get in heaven one day because I tried to do really good things to help people and do the right thing. No, salvation is by grace and through faith. It says explicitly, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we know tonight that going out and telling the world that I'm going to give $100,000 to the orphans and wherever and try to help these kids and whatever it might be and these adults and helping my neighbor seniors and letting everybody know what I'm doing gets you nothing. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you do that not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing, you're just doing that because you love God, you're thankful for Christ, and that's what God's called us to do. Part of the Great Commission, going and making disciples and also loving your neighbor as yourself and all the things that it means to be a Christian, you're doing those things because how could you not? That is a creation of Christ, and therefore it's our obligation to be the hands and feet of Christ in accordance with what Matthew 25 says. Also commands us to do, and what one day we will be judged in accordance with. But I hope tonight, again, godly guidance, that this will help encourage us in these basic fundamental truths. One most important one is guidance in accordance with what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, resting in His guidance, His truth, his direction, because anything else is going to create great pain. I hope you found it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. And if you're able tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. 'Saul died for his unfaithfulness to the Lord because he did not keep the Lord's word. He even consulted a medium for guidance, but he did not inquire of the Lord. Lord put him to death, turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse.' Father God, speak to our hearts tonight through your word. Encourage us, challenge us. Father, let your word be a lamp unto our feet, a light into our path. Lord, let the mistakes, God, of others that are cautionary tales to us that your word gives us as warnings, let them be ever present in our lives and our minds to keep us faithful, keep us steadfast, keep us consistent, and remind us of the brokenness that you have called us out of, Father. And we commit this to you and ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. These two verses speak volumes about actions and implications of actions. First part of 13 there, Saul died for his unfaithfulness to the Lord because he did not keep the Lord's word. Now, first thing I know somebody would say is, wait a minute, we're in New Testament. This is Old Testament. Oh, anybody know about a commandment in the Bible? The first one with a promise? Honor your father and mother, and then the promise. That your days may be long on the earth, kids. That right there is a basic, fundamental, biblical truth that says right now, first thing I want to share with you, ready? The way we live our lives directly impacts our time on earth. What? You mean to tell me that I can shorten the years? Yes. Yes, you can. Substantially. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long. Give me another understanding of that scripture. Give me another understanding in Corinthians when it says, when you eat and drink judgment on yourself, what? That's why many of you are weak, sick, and a number of you sleep. Oh, they're sleeping in. No, they're dying. You want to think that there's not a serious call to be godly guided because there is not a direct implication on your life? Ask Samson. Ask Aunt, there goes Suri again. She's going to get saved before too long. We're going to ask her one Sunday. But imagine, she called, she answered to Samson. Well, that's pretty deep. But imagine thinking with Ananias and Sapphira, believing for a moment that they could not have chosen not to lie to the Holy Spirit of God and believe that their lives would not have been lengthened. Are you going to tell me you don't believe that there's no way their lives could have been lengthened? But you're fooling yourself. Because we have, by our lives that we live, in obedience versus disobedience, following godly guidance, godly wisdom, has a direct effect on our lives. As we know from day one as children, that honoring our father and mother, the promise that our days might be long on the earth. I don't want to preach another kid's funeral, and I've done it. I don't ever want to do it again. I don't want to do it again when I believe that there's a spiritual reason that I was standing over their casket and watching them die, be buried eternally, physically removed from the current state that they were in. I don't want to do that. I tell kids all the time, I know you know everything. They look at me like I look, you know what the bad thing is, y'all? I don't even know how dumb I look. I realize that. The older I get, I go, you know, I look really dumb. The older I get, the dumber I look. Does anybody else feel like that? Or realize, yeah, amen. And I look and I go, man, I look like I thought my parents looked when I was young. I just wish I knew then how smart they were and how dumb I was. I thought I was smart, but actually I wasn't. They were. And all they were trying to do is protect me. They were trying to hinder my ability from experiencing pain that has consequential implications. As my mother's guidance growing up saying that some of the choices you make, son, have short-term consequences and others have lifetime consequences. choose wisely. I remember those things. I remember those things, but I remember them at a time when they just went in one ear and out the other. Now, the words resonated over the decades, but the truth was long and sticking. See, the way that we live directly impacts our time on earth. And that's why tonight's message title is so important. Godly guidance helps all of us as parents not only impart that to our children, but also realize in our own lives some of the choices that we can make can directly affect what we do or don't do tomorrow. And then the second part there, in the second half of 13 and the beginning of 14, see, Saul died for his unfaithfulness to the Lord because he did not keep the Lord's word. He even consulted a medium for guidance, but he did not inquire of the Lord. If anybody remembers what that's referencing, it's when Saul invoked the witch at Endor. Do you remember that? He disguised himself and deceived even the witch. Brought up the Samuel, who was in soul sleep at that point, Old Testament, Old Covenant, they were in soul sleep. There was no ability for them to enter God's presence, as we know, because there was no salvation. There was no grace through faith. There was a temporary holding back of God's wrath, which we saw in the sacrifices. We don't have time to go into that all tonight, but just referencing that for understanding's sake. But in the witch at Endor, Samuel's in soul sleep. What does Samuel do? He gives Saul a great revelation very quickly and says, by the way, tomorrow this time you will be with me. With which Saul started shaking, got extremely weak, and the witch is like, listen, you got to get out of here. And she gave him something to eat because they were tired, they were worn out, they were hungry, and he got some strength. And guess what? Anybody remember on Mount, what happened the next day on Mount Gilboa? Saul and his family was killed exactly as Samuel had prophesied in death. Why in the world did Saul not think of the spiritual implications of, in a sense, invoking a demonic realm, the realm of the dead? Now, Samuel wasn't part of the demonic realm, but when you start messing around with the realm of the dead, are you messing around with the spirits of the Lord? No, you're messing around with spirits of darkness. Don't go to a fortune teller. Don't go let somebody read your palm. Don't read those foolish things on Facebook and in a newspaper that are your horoscope. Nobody can tell you your future but God. But you better be really careful if you start messing around in the realm of darkness, brothers and sisters, because I will promise you, if you merely touch Leviathan, you merely touch him, you will never forget. Read Job where it says that. Don't you dare mess around with watching those demonic things and believe for a second that it's not going to have real implications on you or your family. Don't invite those spirits into your home. Don't invite Stephen King's It in a place in your home, because then when your family begins to be tormented and you don't understand why you can't sleep and why your dreams are tormented, why your thoughts are tormented, why you have no control over yourself, no control over your emotions, you don't understand why the only thing you can do is continue to add this and add that and add them and add that and all these things that you've had now to add to try to get control of something that you invited in. They're called demonic strongholds, church. I don't care if you think that's not true or not. I don't care. There's nothing I can do to convince you if you don't believe that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but of principalities, rulers, dark forces, heavenly realms. That's what we're battling, church. Don't play around with darkness because you'll be consumed by it. You can laugh all day long behind my back. I don't give two flips if you do, because that's what I cannot control. I can only control me. And I know what darkness is, and I want nothing to do with it. There was a time in my life I didn't even like to be out in the light. I wanted to be out at night. Didn't like the daytime. Y'all know now, I don't like nighttime. The only difference in what happened to me is coming by faith in Jesus Christ and God turning my entire life upside down. I like light. I like truth. I like everything to do with light. I like everything to do with what I see with God, a God of order. I want order in my life as much as I can possibly have. I like the fact that God shows his creative beauty in schedule. Everything about God is on a schedule. Man, everything God does is scheduled. It's beautiful. I know you can't schedule everything in life, but I think it's awesome that your body does better when you try to have the same bedtime and same waking time. Ask any doctor. You'll find yourself finding out exactly what I found out myself, which I, again, rejected as a child. Your body does really good being scheduled. I wonder why. Because we have a God of order that created us to live on a schedule. And this beautiful picture of his creative order, his creative guidance, his creative protection. Wonder why drugs hurt our bodies. They're not of God. I'm talking about the things that harm you, the things that are not good for you. Doesn't make sense, does it? Yes, it does, because our bodies were not created to experience certain things. The same way with emotionally, we're not supposed to experience certain things. We're not supposed to run off on our families and take off with the next thing that comes down the street. Why? Because it has dangerous implications on what God created us to experience. But ultimately, if you're not seeking godly guidance, how are you ever going to see a good thing if it ever does come down the road? How are you ever going to know a blessing when it smacks you right in the face if you are not ear to the ground spiritually before the throne of God in prayer and in his word? It won't ever happen, church. But listen to this second thing I'm going to share with you tonight. Any other guidance apart from God is not of God. Listen to what I just said. Any other guidance apart from God is not of God. Somebody can tell you their worldly wisdom, that's great. But I'm talking about guidance. I'm not talking about wisdom. I'm not talking about, oh, wow, that person's a really good architect and they told me how to design a building. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your 10 best friends on Facebook that are telling you how to run your life. When your husband or your wife isn't acting right and they're telling you, well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't put up with it. God wants you happy, right? Doesn't it say that in the Bible? I've heard it before many times. Let me assure you, there's nowhere in the Bible that God says, leave your family because God wants you happy. I just broke one of those shells. Praise the Lord. And I'm serious when I say that. I've had people tell me point blank, word for word, God wants me happy. Ready? Then the following part was, and he wants me to leave my spouse. I said, you're talking straight from hell. And that's exactly what I said. That is not of God. That is not God. There was no abuse. This person was unhappy. They'd fallen out of love, and they wanted to leave their spouse. Church, let me just tell you something. Godly guidance only comes when we get our ear to the ground spiritually in God's word. We all make terrible mistakes, and we are, thank God, because of his grace, his mercy, and forgiveness, are able to be restored into fellowship with him, restored in the beauty of his protective hand, his creative plan. And that's the beauty of what God is. He is a fourth quarter God. And what is it? Nehemiah, down to the potter's house, the vessel was marred. They had destroyed the beautiful thing that God wanted to do. But guess what God was doing? He was forming that vessel into a new one. What does it say? As he saw fit. So that doesn't mean because you've messed up in life that God can't use you now. Yes, God can. I'm just saying there's implications for the decisions that we make. There's implications for the decisions that we make. So therefore, please don't get on social media and ask what to do when you get mad at me, your best friend, your Sunday school teacher, your neighbor, your Bible study partner, and get on there and start ranting about what you don't like, about what someone has told you. Do not curse my anointed. Do not lay hands on my prophets. Do not curse my anointed. I'm not even talking about this doesn't have to do with me. I'm talking about the anointing work of God in your life and the people God's put in your life. I'd rather my mother beat me than God. I'd rather go steal my parents' air conditioning unit than to steal one from a church. But somebody was ignorant enough to steal one of those units out there. They'll deal with that before the Lord, not me. That's between them and God. Because you know what I know? You do that before the eyes of the one that sees everything. He knows what's going on tonight. God is not asleep. God didn't miss nothing. God knows exactly what's going on, and that's why I say with you and I, We better be in his presence. We better be in prayer. Because if we're not, you know what's going to happen? We're going to do what we do best, church. How many of you have real battles with control? Wanting control. Wanting to control things in churches. Wanting to control things in homes. Wanting to control your husband. Ladies, I know that's a battle some women have. That's between you and the Lord. It's not mine to fix. It's yours. It's you to own that because you're going to deal with it before God. Husband, if you're not man enough to stand up and be a leader, you'll stand before whatever she is that you didn't put your foot down and be a godly man of God that was the leader God created you, called you, and commanded you to be. You'll still stand accountable for it. So I'd get used to getting upset with God's call on you and having to make a decision that sometimes might not be real popular, but you're going to make it with first and foremost your family number one. Your wife that you're loving as Christ loved the church. This has nothing to do with being a dictator. This has to do with what God has commanded you to do. And I'll tell you what will happen. If you start leading like that, your wife's going to see that. I don't know a woman that won't submit to godly leadership, and if she will, you just might have to have a little wrestling match. And I'm not talking about a physical one. I'm talking about a sit down and go and listen. We can only have one shepherd. God's created us. We look at the structure biblically. This isn't anything to do with what I think. This has to do with what God's word says. There can only be one high priest of the home, right? There can only be one shepherd. Ladies, I'll just encourage you on something. If you and your husband are at odds with something, you know what I'd do? I'd look over and say, you're going to bear the consequences of this. I'm praying for you as you make the final decision. And free yourself. I mean this. Free yourself at that moment after you sat down, you've talked about it. Allow yourself to be freed, because guess who's going to stand before God and going to bear the consequences of that? That man that God's called you to lead, that has called to lead the home. Church, any other guidance apart from God is not of God. See, Saul summoned that witch at Endor. He got a little fortune cookie, and he didn't like what was in it, did he? So to speak. By the way, I don't even like fortune cookies. Just to know that. At the restaurant, I like them. I don't open them. I don't like them. Because my future is there. That's the same thing as harmlessly reading the horoscope. That will have a subconscious effect on you whether you realize it or not. Put those back on that little thing where they'd say, hey, y'all can just keep those. You know why? That might give you an ability to testify to the workers at the restaurant. And I know, trust me, I opened them for majority of my life. I thought they were just harmless fun. But actually, there's a spiritual root, a mysticism. You do not want any part of that. I know I'm going down a bunch of rabbit trails, you might think, tonight, but actually this all goes in line with this right here, godly guidance. You don't want to even have a subconscious thought when one of those things inside of that fortune cookie might be something that you begin to go, oh man, wow, it says I'm going to come into a bunch of money. Imagine how those things can start to affect us in a subconscious way. You don't want anything that is not divinely willed of God, amen? You don't want it, I promise you, you don't. The only thing you want is God's blessing, and this is the other part, in God's perfect time. And then third and final part of it, the second half of verse 14. So the Lord put him to death, turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is this. Do not take God's blessing and force him to give it to someone else. Wow. I could go through scripture after scripture that talks about this. Matter of fact, in Proverbs, it talks about Ecclesiastes, where the unrighteous store up wealth to be given to the righteous. God takes and shifts. It happens. Don't place yourself in a position where God has you store up what he's going to take from you and give it to someone who will use it in the proper way for his kingdom, his glory. Don't take God's blessings and, force him. You hear what I just said? Force him, God, to give it to someone else. You see what Ananias and Sapphira did? They forced God to deal with them. That was taken and given to someone who was going to use it for the kingdom. How many times in Scripture have we seen that? A lot. God will take something from the unrighteous and give it to the righteous. Look at King Saul. God raised him up. By the way, was it God's choice? No. God didn't want the Israelites to have King Saul as a king. He wanted to be their king. But they continued to cry out, "We want a king. We want a king like all these other wicked nations around us." So what did God say finally? Okay, you can have him. So he gave him Saul. We know what Saul did. Saul offered to sacrifice. Wasn't supposed to. The only people that were supposed to offer sacrifices are the Levites. The moment Saul offers his sacrifice, lo and behold, Samuel shows up. "What are you doing?" "Oh, I wanted to hurry up and get the show on the road because, you know, I'm helping God do his job." "You know you're not supposed to do that. You're going to lose the kingdom because of this." I'm just paraphrasing. And sure enough, we're watching the final closing act of this. It occurred over years, by the way. All that time that then King David was anointed king, King Saul had this anger at David. So not only has Saul been unrighteous, but now he's blaming others for his actions. Isn't that interesting? It's so human, amen? You know, well, the church made me mad, and, you know, I'm not going back to church anymore because, oh, a pastor there did that, and someone did this and that, and so I don't go to church anymore because, oh, really, you love God but hate his wife. We are in an imperfect world, and we are not going to have things perfected, amen, until we're in glory one day. And by the way, just so if anybody ever tells you about a perfect church, don't go. I can't go either. You know why? We'll ruin it. There's no such thing as a perfect church is what I'm getting at. There's no such thing. You'll hear about them occasionally. As a matter of fact, the last one I heard about a year and a half ago is gone. History. It all imploded in a matter of months. But everybody in the world said at that moment, it was the place to be. It's gone. It happens. Remember what I always hear? When the new thing comes, better run. Because when you hear new and you hear Christianity, Jim Jones, David Koresh, and a bunch of these other people, you've heard it over and over again. Let me say, this is what I like. It's that old hymn, the old-time religion. Amen? Old-time religion is good. Meaning, the old-time religion, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ that's transformative. I'm talking about, we don't need smoke and lights. We don't need smoke and mirrors. We don't need coffee bars. We don't need food bars. We don't need dancing chimpanzees in the parking lot to park your cars. No, we just need Jesus. Because Jesus changes lives. And the Holy Spirit fills hearts. And the Holy Spirit convicts. And the Holy Spirit does its work. And that's this old, good old saying right here. Give me 10 people that don't know their head from their feet, we'll change the world, right? And love Jesus. We don't have to have people with doctorates, and we don't have to have this incredible thought processes of what these amazing people can do. No, just find 10 people that don't know their head from their feet that love Jesus, and you can change the world. Why? Because they love Jesus. That's what matters. And what matters is when you love Jesus, you know what you'll do? As somebody that I was shared with me today, the person didn't even tell me that 1 o'clock in the morning when God wants you to do something, if you love Jesus, you're going to do it. Doesn't matter if it's 1 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 3:30 in the afternoon. You're going to do what God wants you to do when you are in love with him. But let me tell you one thing. When somebody's got the wrong motives and somebody's not right spiritually, you know what you can do? You can have every program. You can have an unlimited budget. You can be in an optimal location. You know what you'll have? Nothing. Because if the Spirit of the Lord ain't there, you've got nothing. If you don't have the Spirit's power and the Spirit's presence, you have nothing. And if you don't have obedience to do what it is that God's commanded and called us to do, you have nothing. So godly guidance tonight, church, is one of the fundamental principles and that I firmly believe that all of us tonight can do a reset on. God, here I am, send me. Here I am, God. I want to do what you want me to do. God, I want to be what you want me to be. God, I don't want to be a Saul. Lord, I don't want to be Moses. Why Moses? God, I don't want to be faithful, but then right when the culmination of this being led into the promised land, they have to wait until finally Moses is dead. So that then Joshua leads them in the promised land. Why? Because of disobedience, unfaithfulness. Direct implications on our lives. How many people have you in our lifetimes ever had seen and in your mind gone, Lord, I wonder why that happened? I think we'd be disingenuous in our own lives if we didn't say, Lord, if there was an issue like that, God, please keep me at a place where that I'd be guarded so that, Father, I don't make a Moses, an Ananias and Sapphira, a Korah, and many of the other, again, cautionary tales in Scripture of the Lord having to prematurely take people home. Does that mean that God loves them any less? No. Sometimes he loves them so much that he has to get them home. How about our child? Sometimes when our kid's out acting bad, mom, dad, you holler out the door, get home right now. Sometimes that happens. But tonight is, a cautionary tale to all of us to seek godly guidance, godly wisdom, but then more so, listen to it. Listen to it. Final illustration of that, my dad in Charlotte had the guy at our church that cleaned the church. His name was Robert Leake, neat guy. He's a black pastor in Charlotte, had a church. He cleaned our church, though, during the week. He had two deacons that were giving him trouble. He talked to my dad about it. He'd go, you know, these two fellas, I've just been praying about it. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, they're just really giving me trouble, and I don't know what to do. I promise you, church, sure enough, they dropped dead. They dropped dead. Dead, sir. He came in, Mr. Tom, I don't have that deacon problem anymore. What happened? He said they both died of heart attacks, massive heart attacks. And I'll never forget. Now, remember, I was young. I was about 11 years old. And I remember hearing my dad and Mr. Leake talk about that going, whoa, that's some serious business right there. But again, do not curse my prophets. Do not let my hands my anointed. And these people are directly defying the shepherd that God had in the flock. Now, if he was doing something ungodly, that would have been a different story. But they just didn't like the direction that the pastor was leading the church. We've got to be careful because God's word, hey, when we're directly defying something in our life, your boss at work, you want to bow up on your boss? Don't do it. There's nobody in authority in our lives that God hasn't placed in authority. You let the mess be on them. Don't bow up against kids, your parents. Don't bow up against your parents. They love you. They're going to stand accountable for you. They are the watchmen. They're the shepherds of your soul, in a sense, in your home. That dad, remember the weight that he's carrying. Understand the weight that those people in leadership in your lives are carrying. There's no authority but that which God has instituted, right? When we rebel against authority, we rebel against God. Understand that God has placed these people in our lives as, in a sense, watchmen of our souls. They are ones that will give an account for us. So be faithful to yield the submission in your life, realizing that the same way we submit to that is a picture of what we're doing to God himself. Yield yourself to him. Let that godly wisdom guide you, direct you in everything. And if I say anything that's outside of God's word, I'd love to hear about it. I mean that. I know tonight, as hard as a message like this is, the implications of it are astounding. It's so far-reaching in our lives. And what I've realized, even in my own life, when I don't like accountability in my life, it's not an accountability issue. It always comes back to a rebellion issue in my own heart. I'm thankful for the people that God has placed in my life. It's not fun at times to have to answer questions that want to be asked, but at the same time, it's important because the only victory we're going to ever have is when we are in accountability in the structures that God has blessed us with. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.